Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulihil karim. Allahumma rabbi syrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa hlul uqdatam min lisani yafkahu qawli. Respected ulama, elders, mothers and sisters, I've been asked to share a few thoughts with you on the state of the Muslim world and specifically how we as Muslims, as a Muslim community, are being perceived in the rest of the world. It is coincidental that this discussion takes place on the 1st of May, and normally the word May Day, May Day, May Day is an international distress call to say, help me. When a plane or a ship is in danger, it gives a distress call, May Day, May Day, May Day. Of course, the origin is not from English, it is actually from French. But that's just a coincidence. So is the family of Islam, is the community of Muslims in danger? Do we have to issue a distress call of May Day? Of course, the only power to whom we can appeal for help is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whilst we are appealing for help to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it appears that we are living in a world which is very difficult to understand, there are actions done in the name of our deen. There are actions perpetrated in the name of Islam. And the question we need to ask is, who benefits from this? Who gains the most from this? Recently, with the actions of Al-Shabaab north of our borders, and the recent xenophobic attacks that took place on South African soil, there was apparently a call made by a group calling itself Al-Shabaab to say that the South African government must watch out because Al-Shabaab will take revenge. Equally, there was another call received from Boko Haram. Now, the question we need to pose is, why is there an attempt to create a presence of these two groups in South African society? And who gains if this becomes a reality? We know for a fact that this Jama'ah and every Muslim community of our brothers and sisters in different parts of the country have no allegiance to and no connection to Al-Shabaab and Boko Haram. Because that is not our way. That is not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a famous saying that people will be judged by their intentions and by their deeds. Because your deeds define you. Your actions define you. And right now on the African continent, the actions of Boko Haram and Al-Shabaab are as far from the deen of Islam as the original Kharijites, the breakaway group in the early days of Islam. And then let us go one further. We all know about the so-called recruitment process that took place or was taking place for the so-called group called ISIS, and how certain youth, through social media, have been totally captured in serving the ideals of ISIS. And what does the implications of ISIS have for us as South African Muslims? So now you have three groups, ISIS, Boko Haram, and the Shabab, that are carrying out deeds in the name of your deen. Now we might say, around the dinner table and after masjid and meeting at the funeral or at a wedding, when we're having our discussions, we might discuss with each other and we say, we know the truth. But how many of our fellow South African citizens have we conveyed the truth to? Last week, in the banquet hall, we had the Paul Mutimuye Bursary Fund dinner. And it just so happened that a group of Muslims was sitting at one table. So it became very obvious to anybody walking into the hall that why are the Muslims sitting only at one table? Why have they not mixed with the rest of the crowd? Now, there was a very good reason for that, simply because of the halal food requirements that had to be served at one table. But there was a joke made by a very senior person in this community, non-Muslim, who said, is that the table for Boko Haram? Now, it was said in jest, it was said in a joke. But it has serious implications. Because we, as Muslimin, are becoming identified and associated with the groups that are furthest from Islam. Now, in our own circles, in our own majma, in our own discussions, we take it for granted that these people do not represent the deen. But how have we conveyed this message to the people that we interact with on a daily basis who are not Muslim? Because in their minds, in their perception, in their discussions at their temples or churches or synagogues, in their business boardrooms, in their meetings, what are they saying about you and I as Muslims? The danger we have is that over the past 300 years of South African Muslim history, did you ever hear of an attack on a masjid? Of course, we had the attack on the Soweto Masjid, we had various, the Middelburg Owl Masjid, the town masjid, had vandalism against it many years ago. We were in the masjid during Maghrib Salah when it happened. Besides these isolated incidents, have you ever heard of a masjid that was under attack, planned attack? It happened last year in Ramadan, in four masajid in the country. We have to raise our level of awareness as a community, because we are becoming associated with those that are perpetrating actions in our own name. We have all heard of false flag operations. In our own history, in apartheid South Africa, there were false flag events that took place and that were blamed on the liberation movements, the PAC and the ANC. There were even actions that took place that blamed the TIC of the time, the Transvaal Indian Congress, and the Natal Indian Congress. So it was designed to make that particular organization look bad. It was a false flag operation. Right now, ISIS is a false flag operation of the highest order. The so-called leader of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, whose actual name is Simon Elliot, and who claims to be doing things in the name of the Khalifate and the Deen, we as Muslimin have to be very careful in how we respond to events around the world. Just recently, when most of the country was on holiday in December, at the United Nations, Palestine had applied to become a member of the UN. Of course, the application was declined. It was vetoed by two countries. And when the world's attention was focused on New Year and Christmas, there was a planned attack that took place in France, the Charlie Hebdo affair, another false flag operation. And we need to engage our family members and our youth when we have discussions around the dinner table, that we do not have to have access to reams and reams of information, merely to use our common sense. And what made Charlie Hebdo a false flag affair? Because France voted for Palestine to be included in the International Criminal Court. And Netanyahu, 2 months before that, warned France that if you vote for Palestine, you will see terrorist action on your soil. And what happened a few weeks thereafter? Charlie Hebdo took place. Malaysia, together with the Southeast Asian countries, voted strongly for Palestine to be included in the International Criminal Court for Justice. And suddenly in that part of the world, you saw planes dropping out of the sky. When you look at the actions of ISIS, why I say that we need to just use aql, normal common human sense, which Allah has given us. Where in the Quran or the Hadith or the actions of our akabirin have you ever seen in our history a living human being burnt alive? The sifat of throwing somebody into the fire belongs to Allah alone. That is why we cannot cremate. You cannot even burn a dead person. Yet ISIS puts on the international television platforms a captured soldier from Jordan, they put him in a cage, and they burn him alive. Just common human sense. Is that what the deen teaches us? No. You are not even allowed to burn a dead dog. You cannot throw that which Allah has created, living or dead, into the fire. Yet this is done by ISIS in the name of your deen. Where in our history, and this is why we need to be connected to our history, where in our history have you seen women and children taken as captives? Even in jihad, and remember, jihad is offense, jihad is defensive, it is never offensive. Look at the life of the Khulafa'i Rashideen. Look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and examine the status of their jihad. Jihad was never offensive. It was always defensive. And they never took, radiallahu anhum, they never took women and children as captives. They never raped and pillaged and burned crops. That goes against every grain of what a Muslim stands for. You are not even allowed to poison water sources if you're in a state of war. Yet, all of this takes place under the name of Islam. We need to speak about this in forums outside of our own majma. We need to communicate this to people outside of our majma so that they understand that you and I do not represent Boko Haram, Shabab, or ISIS. And whenever we speak of ISIS, we must always use the term so-called, because ISIS, who in his right mind, which Muslim nation on earth is English speaking? Majority of Muslim nations are not English speaking. And why will you use the term Islam in a group's name? Why would you use the term Khalifate, the Khalif of ISIS? Because this is designed to make everything that you and I stand for as Muslimin, it is designed to make us look bad. It is designed to make us look evil. That Islam equates terrorism. Right now as we speak, 2 days ago, a conference in Abu Dhabi that was attended by over 30,000 people and a document that was signed by over 200 leading scholars of the world met to discuss, and the title of that forum was Muslim Society for the Promotion of Peace. The conference was originally called up by Hamza Yusuf's teacher, who is from Mauritania. So we have to become proponents of peace. We have to become ambassadors of peace, not only within our own circles, outside of our own circles. Because the amount of jahiliyyah that is existing outside of our circles is amazing. Because they are being informed by the mainstream media. There's a beautiful saying that those who do not read newspapers are uninformed. Those who do read newspapers are misinformed. Do you see the balance between the two? Because the mainstream media is carrying the projection, everything that is being fed to them regarding Boko Haram and ISIS and Al-Shabaab is true. We as yet have no alternative media. It is something that we haven't focused on as a community, besides our own radio stations. So the only challenge we have, the jihad we have, the farz, a kifaya responsibility that we have on our shoulders is to project what the true Islam stands for. And we can only do that by interacting with those who are misinformed. Our time is too short to do a slice and dice analysis of all the false flag operations that have taken place with ISIS or even Charlie Hebdo. Again, when I talk of common sense, if you dissect the television clip that was shown throughout the world on Charlie Hebdo, they raised their left hand when they shouted Allahu Akbar. A Muslim child of 4 years, in any part of the world, if you tell him to say the Shahada and raise his hand, which hand will he raise? The right hand. These people raised their left hand. Common sense. Common sense, again, that a paramilitary force that acted with so much precision and timing leaves behind an identity card in the car. Red flags go up. So we need to be more discerning in what we see and what we read. We need to discuss, dissect, analyze what we see and what we read. Because we are living in a world that very few people understand. And if we take the mainstream media's projection of what the world is going through, we will have youngsters from different towns rushing to join ISIS because they want to become mujahideen. In the words of the Grand Mufti of Al-Azhar, when he said that in the Quran, Surah, verse 205, the translation of which is, when he is empowered, he sets out to do violence in the land, destroying crops and livestock. But Allah does not love violence. Exactly what ISIS is doing, destroying crops, destroying lives, poisoning water sources, burning people alive, exactly going 110% against everything what the Quranic verse stands for. In a statement from the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the last sermon at the farewell pilgrimage, he said, "Beware." After which he said, "Listen. Do not revert back to disbelief after I have gone. That is by some of you killing indiscriminately." A statement of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, who said, "Whoever pledges allegiance to someone not appointed by the consultative process of the believers, by the process of shura," which goes back to the Quranic verse, "Wa amrahum shura baynahum," neither he nor the one to whom he pledged allegiance are to be followed. And the verse and the hadith carries on. Unfortunately, our time is up, but we can discuss this in further detail at some other time. I will end with the statement made by Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, which is very telling. It was almost predicting what would happen. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu has mentioned in and narrated by Nu'aym ibn Hamad, who has narrated this in Al-Fitan, that when you see black flags, remain where you are. And do not move your hands and feet. Thereafter there shall appear a feeble, insignificant folk. Their hearts will be like fragments of iron. They will have the state. They will fulfill neither covenant nor agreement. They will call to the truth, but they will not be people of the truth. Their names will be parental attributions, and their aliases will be derived from towns. The hair will be free-flowing like that of women. This situation will remain until they differ amongst themselves. Thereafter, Allah will bring forth the truth through whomever He wills. Let's analyze the statement very quickly. When you see black flags, the flags of ISIS are all black. Remain where you are. That is, stay where you are, O Muslims. Do not join them. Recently, we heard of some youth from Roshni that wanted to join ISIS. Clear statement of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Remain where you are, do not join them. And do not move your hands and feet. That is, meaning do not help them financially or with equipment. Their hearts will be like fragments of iron. What is harder than iron when you want to burn a soldier in a cage and show it on video throughout the world? They will have the state, meaning they will have, for almost a century, no one in the Muslim world declared Islamic Caliphate. These people have unilaterally declared an Islamic Caliphate. They will fulfill neither covenant nor agreement. Look at the agreements. Look at the agreements that these people have broken. They signed a treaty in Mosul, when they captured Mosul, with a community that was living there, that we will give you protection. They broke it. They massacred that entire community. Look at how many people they have massacred. The action of cutting a person's throat on live television is not the Islamic way. That is not our way. The so-called ISIS did not fulfill its agreement with the Shah Itat tribe after the tribe pledged allegiance to them. Indeed, ISIS slaughtered them by the hundreds. They also killed journalists. Again, Hazrat Ali, they will call to the truth. The Islamic State, what do they say? ISIL, ISIS, what do they say? We are calling you to Islam. But they will not be people of the truth. The people of the truth are merciful. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Have mercy and you shall be shown mercy. What is the description of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْآلَمِينَ Is ISIS or Boko Haram or Shabab Rahmah? Do they show Rahmah in their actions? Again, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, their names will be parental attributions. Look at the names of the ISIS leaders. Abu Muthana, Abu Muhammad, Abu Muslim, father of so-and-so. And their aliases will be derived from towns and cities like Al-Baghdadi, Al-Zarqawi, Al-Tunisi, etc., etc. The hair will be free-flowing like that of women. The ISIL fighters have the hair precisely long like women until they differ amongst themselves, and the narration carries on. Inshallah, when we have more time, we will slice and dice further false flag operations that are taking place in different parts of the world. One word of caution. In the South African context, there is an attempt to create a false flag operation on South African soil and to blame it on Muslim society. We need to be acutely aware of that, and we need to be aware as a community that there are evil eyes and hands and tongues that are looking at us. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can provide His cloud and rahmah, cloud of rahmah and mercy and protection. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.